You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe from PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and also Viv Govender from Rand Swiss, who is stuck in a load-shedding-related traffic jam, I would say. So, Viv, I'm going to start with you just to see what the quality is like from your car. The South African Reserve Bank locally was the biggest story. They raised rates by 25 basis points to 7.25%. But I think they're sort of letting us know that maybe peak rates have been achieved over the last 24 hours, and maybe they'll stop it now.
Yeah, if not now, maybe the next one. But we're not going to get much more than this, I would think. I think when you looked at the assumptions around this particular rate hike, it was about 50-50 in terms of, but things like maybe 55-45 for a 50 basis point rate hike, and 25 basis point was about 45%. So it was like 50-50, and this was slightly lower than, on the lower chances. But in terms of what's happened in the market today, so the round didn't react that much. The market was kind of anticipating what we got.
Yeah, it was very much baked into the price, as people call it. And Skulk, you must be quite pleased with what's going on at the moment, because despite the fact that the economy's, well, it's not in tatters, but it's certainly not doing much, that the all-share index of the JSE Securities Exchange is at all-time record highs.
Highs upon highs upon highs. I mean, what a pleasure speaking to clients. I mean, I think it's been a wonderful start to 2023. I think to add to what Viv said, I mean, I think expected. We originally saw the rant, somewhat, stronger this morning. We know that the expectation was we will see a 0.5%, hike in rates, and a 0.25% is good. But I concur with what Viv said. I mean, we're sitting in an environment where, on the one hand, the SA Reserve Bank is telling us, we might be nearing the end of the inflation cycle. On the other hand, they're talking about, our GDP forecast, which is, horrible. I mean, we're not just talking about a downgrade from their side. We're talking about a serious, serious downgrade. They suddenly see the GDP levels come in, not just lower, but really, really, the forecast was 1.1% for 2023. Now they're only seeing 0.3% for South Africa. Now that's horrible. That is horrible. I mean, so in my view, even this 0.25%, could have sort of just let this one slip. And again, to put this in perspective, this is the fifth month in a row where we always tend to look at the year-on-year inflation, figures, where we say, we are way beyond the, let's call it that, 3-6% band. This is the fifth month in a row where the month-on-month growth in inflation came in 0.4% or lower. Now, just to put that in perspective for the listeners, if we continue to be on the upper band and average 0.4% per month growth on CPI for the next, let's call it, 7 months, we'll be talking about a inflation rate in 6 months' time of 4.5%. That is well within the band. So, when you look on the one hand, but the GDP levels really looking under pressure, and inflation seem to have peaked, and I sort of question the 0.25% even, but be that as may, it's a win. Not a win necessarily for the Rand. Rand was somewhat under pressure after the announcement, but in general, I think sort of expected.
Yes, and quite responsible, I think, from the South African Reserve Bank, Lesetša Konyago, and the team. Now, Viv, talking about GDP, which Skulk introduced, the US GDP rose at 2.9% annualized in the fourth quarter, slightly better than expected. But both the Reserve Bank and the US Federal Reserve, I think, have the same problem. Everyone keeps telling them there's going to be a slowing economy, and there are slight indications that that's going to be the case, for example, with the housing market coming under pressure. I think the lowest level in existing home sales for 13 years came out this week. So what do you do? Do you curb inflation, or have you curbed inflation, or will recession actually curb it for you, Viv? What do you think? Both banks have a bit of a problem here.
Yeah, look, I mean, in South Africa, I think we are going to have some inflationary pressures coming through from really, really unattractive sources. So, for instance, I mean, I think the petrol price increase next month is going to be, which is next week effectively, is going to be about a rand or so, if I'm correct. That's what the AA has come out and said. But what's really scaring me is the stuff that you're hearing from places like Astral, where they claim that apparently the amount they're getting per kg of chicken is like 2 rand below the cost, meaning that we are likely to see food inflation really rocket up in this country because of the higher cost imposed on them by load shedding. So that is a really negative in South Africa. In the US, yeah, they have these unemployment, sorry, the GDP numbers coming in, you know, sometimes weak, sometimes strong. But the one thing that remains incredibly strong in the US is that unemployment figure. I mean, it's very, very low. There's very little sign that the labor market is under any kind of pressure at the moment. I mean, despite the fact we're hearing things like, for instance, 150,000 jobs were lost to the tech sector over the last 6 months. You know, but then we have Walmart coming out and saying they're raising their minimum wage to, I think, $14. Walmart basically is effectively, I think, the minimum wage of the U.S. It's not the federal minimum wage. Walmart effectively sets the minimum wage in any area it is. And if it's $14 an hour, that's almost double what the minimum wage in the federal minimum wage is. And it also indicates that they're basically having trouble finding and keeping workers, you know, at the moment. So it's very difficult to read the slowdown in the U.S. because 2.9% today, and the unemployment rate being as low as it is, when exactly is the slowdown happening right there?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that to both of you. This is the weirdest recession I've ever seen. I mean, I'm looking at this. GDP up 2.9%. What else have we got here? Jobless claims fell last week. Durable goods orders increased sharply in December. They say, there's a caveat there, though. They say mainly due to demand for aircraft. But nonetheless, I mean, there's some spotty numbers. I mean, not everything's going in the same direction. But on the other hand, this doesn't look like a recession to me, Skulk.
Lindsay, I mean, you keep on using the word recession. I mean,
yes.
I mean, you should put the word expected, you know, in front of that word recession, because that's pretty much what it still is in this stage. But I agree with you. I totally think we're heading in that direction, for sure. But just to echo what Viv just said, I mean, you mentioned the chicken prices. I mean, we saw the trading update coming out from AVI today.
Yes.
And you know when you look at AVI, naturally they've got different departments. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I mean, well-known brands like Five Roses, Coffee Haze, Saro, you know, Ellis Brown, those type of things. But also they've got a brand called I&J. You know, naturally that's the fish department. And I actually, when I looked at that, you know, when I listened to Viv now, I sort of realized this is a sort of an all-round problem, because I&J, they mentioned, and we saw that AVI's price was extremely under pressure today. AVI came out and said their revenue declined by 2.3%. Yes, it was sort of pissed by lower catch rates, but they mentioned the input cost pressures. Now, there they actually specifically mentioned the higher diesel cost, which they couldn't fully recover, you know, through the selling prices. So, you know, to all the consumers out there, the people, you know, love buying the fish. Yeah, I think be prepared. I mean, clearly when I listen to what I&J has said, is the prices you paid, you know, for fish and clearly for chicken, when I listen to what Viv said, is not priced in. And, you know, expect more. If we see these type of pressures, we're talking about a petrol price, you know, hike next month. We're talking about even higher diesel prices. We've heard Russia said, you know, last week, that's it. We're not going to be able to reach the supplies we've been able to you know, make last year. That's going to put some pressure on the, you know, supply side. The demand side is not going to dry up. So we've had this conversation so many times, Lindsay. You know, are we up for a second peak for inflation? Is this the end? Is this really the peak? Or will we see a second tranche?
I don't know. It's interesting. And I want to go now to the retail sector. Viv, I don't know if you cover the retail sector, but it's sort of retail trading update season post-Christmas, post-peak spending. And we had, what do we have today? Nice one from Truworths. They did well. Share price up at one stage well over 5%. I think it's closed around about 4.8% or something like that. TFG, I can't remember, but I think it was underwhelming. It wasn't bad, but it was underwhelming. Woolies was good. Mr. Price was horrible. What do you make of it now? Is it the case now, you don't just buy retail, you've got to be very, very selective?
Yes, most certainly. And also it indicates a bifurcation in the market, I think, to a certain extent. I mean, you know, we talk about the things in terms of inflation, in terms of, you know, how it impacts interest rates and so on. But you understand, this is food. This is like what you people need to survive. And if you take out, I mean, there's only so many sources of protein out there for poor people in this country. And like, you know, the stuff provided by chicken, by places like, you know, the fish fingers from ING and so on, makes a difference. And that segment of population, I think, is under a great deal of pressure at the moment. Especially, like as I said, if you're looking at a petrol price hike next week of that kind of quantum, it might just be a bit more difficulties coming through. So yeah, the certain segments of the population, like I said, with load shedding, like I said, with a number of different factors, if you have the money, you kind of insulate yourself. If you don't, you're feeling the pain at the moment quite strongly. And I think that's what's being shown through some of these, you know, these retail numbers coming through.
Skalka, you're a retailer fan. I know you're a fan of certain things, but you have never set up your retail stall, so to speak, for me. Do you like retail?
I'm not there yet, Lindsay. Currently, when you look at my portfolio, I'm still, you know, somewhat under weight in retailers. I mean, and I think the recent, I mean, not just from South Africa. I mean, you've just mentioned the US. I mean, how sort of conflicting data that's coming through. I mean, we know that the retail data was horrible. I mean, the retail data that actually came through was really showing that there's definitely a serious cool down by these recent, you know, rate hikes. You know, today is going to be no exception. And when you look at these companies, we talk about Truers that has shown a good movement today. Well, most probably we'll speak about that a little bit later, but great movement in terms of the trading update. But just remember, when you look at for instance, a Truers versus a Mr. Price, which you just mentioned, remember Mr. Price is more, you know, mostly a cash. A retailer. You go in, it's not an account. You go in, if you've got cash, you will buy your Mr. Price, you know, clothing. You know, at a Truist, there's a card and there's sort of a lagged effect. So
yeah, it's a big percentage, isn't it, on credit at Truist? I can't remember. I used to speak to Michael Mark and he gave me a number and it was something like 55%, or was it 45%? But anyway, it's right there in the middle. So it's, you know, with interest rates going up, they might be a little bit vulnerable. I don't know.
I think they will. I mean, naturally they will. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind actually that they will. And but again, be that as it may, you know, any interest rate hike is not good for the consumer. They've got less money. We just listened to, you know, in terms of the petrol price is going to go up next month. They're going to pay, you know, more on their bond. They're going to be more on and their credit card debt, and that will, you know, leave less for the retailer. So I think I'm not in that camp yet. I think you know, the valuations, when we look at the food retailers, you know, and they are specifically look at something like a ShopRite. I mean, it's not attractive yet. You know, when you look at your pharmaceutical retailers, Dis-Chem, Clicks, I'm also not there yet. I think there will be a time. But when you look at Bank of America, I mean, they came out with the forecast day two days ago on the US, where they said, well, they see interest rates, you know, peak, you know, soon, and then most probably close towards the end of the year, they might, beginning of next year, might start reducing interest rates. And the unbelievable thing is they actually see a reduction of 2%. 2% in the Fed rate over the next, let's call it, 2 years. That'll be good for your retailers. That might be your sort of your catalyst. It might be the entry point. But as I mentioned, I'm not there yet, not with the current retail figures.
Viv, I still think the US Federal Reserve is always playing catch up. It's got a reputation since the current chair has been in his seat. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about that? Do you think that they're losing the plot? I mean, they were too slow to raise rates. Do you think they'll be too slow to lower rates?
Almost certainly, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think the US Fed right now, what it wants to show is basically, it shows that it's still the boss of the market. It should show, wants to show that it's still willing to do this. I mean, a lot of what happens in the interest rate market depends on your belief in the central bank and the way that the central bank will act. It's been about 40 years that since we've had, that's Franz Volcker, basically, just ages us all. I think 43 years now, Franz Volcker. And that, to a certain extent, was the last time they had to do something like this to show the market we will fight interest rates, also inflation, with high interest rates no matter what. And coming out here and even tanking the economy to a certain extent just improves the credibility with the market. And they can basically coast off that credibility for maybe even decades. So it might not be worth, might not be like in the short term, the right thing to do in terms of actually fine-tuning the economy. But longer term, in terms of showing the market that the U.S. Federal Reserve is still, going to raise interest rates if inflation hikes, it's going to give them the ability to basically have more power in the market than, they would otherwise. So I was always thinking from that point of view, they want to keep their reputation up there. And to a certain extent, that's one of the reasons that they were upset when the market rose the last, couple, meetings that they had, because they basically want to show the market that, listen to us. We're the big guys. We don't care if we tank the economy. We will fight inflation first. That's my impression.
I want to jump in here, Lindsay. I totally agree with Viv. I mean, and what Viv is referring to when he talks about the 40 years, is referring to the stagflation period. And remember when he refers to Volcker, Volcker was sort of originally shot down when he said we're going to go into this major inflation problem, and then stagflation, which eventually will impact the economy, which we eventually saw, and impact the unemployment rate. That was the stagflation era. And then they eventually came back to the Volcker and said, well, you were right. I'm sorry about that. Please come back and please come and fix that. And then he eventually kicked up the interest rates, seriously kicked it up. I think it was something like 2 to 18% on the Fed rate, just to fix the whole inflation environment. But we know you got it fixed. But back to Viv's point, I mean, the problem that they went in is they actually, were too late to increase rates. And they were too quick to reduce it to try and kickstart the economy again. And this time around, I concur with Viv. I mean, bottom line is, if they can actually just hold off a little bit longer before they start reducing again and try and stimulate, the big question that I have is, will they? When they start having pressures, when they start, suddenly seeing the unemployment start kicking up, if we really start seeing the retail figures, being under pressure, you just mentioned the expected, recession. Mm-hmm. If that recession is a little bit deeper than we originally expected, will they react or will they, this time around, be patient enough to say, well, we know it will work. Let's just hold off before we start reducing the interest rates again. I think they will. I really think they will.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, they must be responsible. No knee-jerk reactions. That's what we don't need, knee-jerk reactions. Gentlemen, before we go on to the markets, I just want to give you one quick headline, which was my headline of the day. Richards Bay Coal Terminal exports in 2022 reached a 29-year low. Now, this is a tragedy. We've got the coal. We just don't have the, and maybe a few of the customers were under a bit of pressure, but we don't have the logistics. It's a South African tragedy. We've got so much stuff under the ground and we don't exploit it. Who wants to answer that one? Viv, are you still there? Oh, I see. Yeah.
Come on.
On you go, Scout. step in.
Let's wait for, I heard a beep. So yeah.
I had a video client today who worked for South Africa. Okay, so yeah, basically he was telling me of the difficulties they have transporting things like caustic salt and et cetera, and how over the last 10 years, for instance, the amount of literally wagons they have on the train track to transport the stuff is down like sometimes 70% from what they had 10 years ago. The ability of you to transport stuff around this country has decreased dramatically because the infrastructure in terms of like Transnet and the ports has just fallen to a point. I mean, he says, for instance, when he wants to ship stuff overseas, the shipping companies don't trust them anymore. They're unreliable shippers because things are too often delayed by load shedding or cable theft or something that he can't even export stuff like he used to, because the shipping companies don't want to basically take his bookings because they don't rely. They say he's unreliable in terms of the time getting there, etc. So, yeah, it's a huge problem at the moment in the country among people that are actually doing real things in the real economy.
Yeah, it really
is. Shocking.
Very,
it's
very shocking. Sad. Go on, Skulk. Say your piece there, because I know you're gagging to say something.
Yeah, I am. I mean, Lindsay, it's shocking. When you look at the 10-year period, you know, we're talking about the coal price. Yeah, I mean, 10-year period until, let's call it, you know, pre-2021, which was the COVID era. You know, the average coal prices was $85 per ton. Currently, as we sit here,
360
with the coal, $354.
Okay.
$354 per ton. Mm. And we can't get that black gold on a ship to actually get that exported and get the benefit. I mean, that'll be unbelievable for the coal companies, Thungela, Exxaro. I mean, but it will be unbelievable for our current account. I mean, which would eventually be good, unbelievable for our economy and for our currency. I mean, that's just shocking. Sorry, I don't have it.
No, I agree with you. But there were two negatives on the show today and two positives. You and Viv are the positives. Viv being stuck in a car and kindly conducting this interview with us is a negative as well. And also the coal and mineral exports. It's a national disgrace. Okay, let's have a look at the markets. Where the dollar rand is 17.16, the British pound against the rand 21.23, the euro rand 18.69, euro dollar 108.90, which is flat. We'll come to the international markets with Skulk later. By the way, Viv, Skulk is a sort of, not, I was going to say closet gold bull, but he's not actually. He sings it from the rooftops.
I'm out of the closet. I'm out of the closet.
It's had a bit of a breather today. Down $8 an ounce to 19.33. Platinum, 10.33, down 15. And palladium, down 21 to 16.81. I must have a look now at the oil price, which is, this is fascinating. The first three on my CRB index screen is West Texas. 81.19, that's the first one, up 1.25%. Brent crude oil, $87.22, up 1.3%. And then just below that is natural gas, 7.7% weaker, down at 2.83. Now, I think it was something like 7 or 8 rather than the big figure of 2. So this thing has fallen in a heap, despite the fact it's very, very cold over here. And other things, yeah. I've got coal at 260, up 2.6%, but it's closed now. And yeah, generally, commodities taking different paths. Right, Bitcoin, we have to look at that. Oh, it's just above 23,000, up 1.3%. The South African 10-year bond yield, completely unfazed by the interest rate rise, 9.64%, which is unchanged from yesterday. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, 3.48%, which is about 2 basis points higher, but nothing to write home about. And S&P 500 futures, yeah, having a good session, up 0.2% to 4,059. Let me go through my list of individual stocks that have been either up or down, if you'll bear with me for a moment. Generally, a good few weeks that we've had. And that has continued today. On the upside, Kumba Iron Ore, 5.7% to the good. Truworths up 4.2% off its highs, but still will take 4.2%. Hammerson up 4%. Aspen has gained 3.7%, and Naspers 3.6% higher. On the downside, though, Impala Platinum down 4.75%. Thungela down 4.6%. Alphamin down 4%. AVI, after its update, 2.7% in the red, and Pick and Pay down 2.25%. Any comments there, Skulk, when it comes to stocks not on my rather limited lists?
Yeah, I think you've covered all the movers and shakers. We've already covered Truers, which came up with a much better trading update. I think the biggest surprise when we look at wasn't really South Africa. It was coming from Office. Now Office is a UK retailer, and that we know that they were in the market with this company, and it was one of these cash drags, very similar to Woolies' David Jones. Office actually came out and said, well, they had a massive growth, increase in sterling terms, 13.6% growth, over this period. When we look at the expected or the forecasted HEPS for Truers, they need to now you know, when you look at the forecast, the next, let's call it 6 months, you know, the EPS need to decline by about 28 to 35% just to reach consensus. So expect, you know, revised adjustments upward. So that was quite a good surprise. Naspers process, what a, I don't want to say 2023 because it's been, let's call it the past 3 to 6 months. But 2023 was just dominated by both Naspers process and all the Gold Coast. So Naspers, they came out today with, it's very similar to the theme sort of for the past few months where we say, you know, bad news is good news. Naspers process actually came out today and they said, well, they're going to be cutting the corporate workforce by 30%. Just among other companies, we know Amazon, they've actually already, you know, cut 18,000 positions. You know, Facebook, Meta, they're laying off 11,000 people. Microsoft already cutting 10,000 people. So they just sort of joining the herd in this stage. You know, brother, they're going to be cutting 30% of their workforce. Had a massive, massive effect on this already great performance on both Naspers and Prosus. Prosus up 3%, Naspers up 3.6%. And we've already chatted about AVI. AVI just mentioned that they were flat. But when I look at the consensus, I wouldn't read too much in this. This is a high, high quality company. I seriously love this company. Great brands inside the company. And although it wasn't really necessarily the most positive, it's still, when you look at the forecast, it's very much in line with what they forecast for the full year. So, you know, just watch this price. I think that'll be interesting. And then, you know, the first actual trading update that we've received from OUTsurance, that was when you look at a update, you know, when they exclude Hastings, because when you don't exclude Hastings, it seems like, you know, OUTsurance trading update mentioned that they might have a 70% drop in headline, well, earnings per share. But you need to exclude Hastings. That actually means that they, or imply that they're looking towards a 20% increase in their earning per share for their first, let's call it, maiden over. The share price didn't really react. Just give you an idea why we've seen this recent movement. And then to most probably Mr. Market knew a little bit more, or, you know, anticipated a little bit more,
It's been a good spin-off for OUTsurance. It's been a really good spin-off, and it's done well. Viv, I get suspicious of the market going up and up and up and up all the time, and record high, record high, record high, as Skunk so eloquently put it earlier on. I just think, this is my conspiracy theory, Viv. Yeah, there's a lot of smart-suited young men in London and New York and wherever it is, the people on the emerging market desk, and they've got a list, like a shopping list, and they go, okay, Vietnam, China, is it an emerging market? I don't know. And Singapore, and that sort of thing. And they see South Africa and they say, okay, it's not big enough for me to finesse every day, so press the buy button on these stocks or this ETF or this index, and away it goes. And then after a while, they don't forget about it, obviously. But I've seen this before, and it suddenly stops. Viv, am I being unkind?
No, you're not. I mean, even our currency basically is treated as a proxy sometimes of what happens in Turkey or Brazil. We have absolutely nothing to do with either place. You know, there's an upset in the emerging market somewhere. South Africa is an emerging market, and therefore the currency weakens. You know, I remember like around the Turkey crisis a couple of years ago, and we had, you know, the rand weakening a bit on that news, which made absolutely no sense. But what Shark had mentioned, however, about, you know, the cutting and the jobs, or whatever. I remember we spoke when Elon Musk took over Twitter, and I mentioned the fact that if he gets that thing right in Twitter, and Twitter doesn't fall apart when he cuts like 70%+ of the workforce, you're going to find every other, you know, tech company out there thinking they could do the same. And I suspect that's kind of like what's happening. We are seeing, you know, a huge, I think, overstaffing of these places. And, you know, to a certain extent, if you look at, for instance, Facebook or look at Google or Alphabet or Meta, or you want to call it, you know, those places, in terms of the last 3 years, have, like, in some cases, more than doubled their staff. Which makes no sense, considering the fact that the product offering hasn't increased or changed significantly over that time. In fact, you know, they're almost mature businesses. So I think, you know, the tech companies are using this as an excuse to cut their staff, especially because they usually, you know, view them as like, you know, oh, we are your part of a family, etc. They have that very, you know, paternalistic looking, corporate culture. An excuse to cut your staff members is probably an advantage, especially if you're thinking about the fact that most of them are probably in a situation where they are massively overstaffed right now. So these could turn these companies into massively profitable, or more profitable rather, institutions going forward. And I think one last thing I want to mention, I don't know if you guys looked at it yet, is that Tesla's results came out yesterday.
Yes. And they did, I mean, I don't know what the share price has done, but sales were pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, 9% up at the moment. But one thing that is weird about Tesla is, I don't think this what they talked about means anything really for the valuation. If you think about it this way, Tesla went up more today, right, because of this increase in, like, you know, Outlook and so on, than the market cap of GM. About the same, really, as the market cap of GM. Tesla is worth $490 billion, okay? They're up 9% today. So you can talk about basically about, you know, this is probably like a $45, $50 billion move. And GM is worth about $51, $52 billion. So it's almost the same size as GM today on that news. But if Tesla is a car company, you know, which is what these results are, their car results, there's no way it's valued what it is. In order for Tesla to be valued what it is, that full self-driving stuff has to work. That's the only way it makes a valuation like this here. So I often find it funny that, you know, Tesla goes up and down on these, you know, or reports on this factory stuff or on, you know, selling more vehicles, when that cannot in any way justify the current valuation for the company.
Yeah, it is quite juicy. And interestingly, they cut a lot of prices on their models, and that hasn't really been reflected the next set of results. But yeah, it would be interesting to see. Just before we go as well, because it suddenly occurred to me, if you bought a Tesla, let's say 2 weeks ago, and then you wake up in the morning and you're looking at your Wall Street Journal or something, and you say, wait a second, if I'd have waited, I would have got this thing 20% less than I paid for it. Skulk, wouldn't you be a little bit miffed by that?
A little? A little? I'll really be miffed. And if I'm any, let's call it bit of potential buyer out there that's on the waiting list currently, I would stick my hand up and say, wait, you know what, cancel my order and let's just give it a little bit of a wait. But I want to just touch on one last thing before.
Okay.
Because you just mentioned about, you know, the attractiveness for South Africa and, you know, how we've actually become, you know, less attractive according to weather. There's a great chart that came out in the last few days, you know, from Standard Bank Securities, where they actually charted the MSCI South Africa, you know, the weight compared to the MSCI Emerging Market Index.
Yeah.
And you know, that chart started, let's call it 2005, where we carried a weight more or less 12% within the MSCI Emerging Market Index. You know, it dropped off there in the financial crisis 2008-2009 to around about the 7% levels, and stayed there for pretty much the following 10-11 years.
Yeah.
You know, since then, or let's call it since the unbundling of Prosus, we've dropped down to the current levels of below 4% currently, 3.something%. So to just get back to your point and get back to Viv's point, I mean, we've become fairly irrelevant in terms of you know, equity markets. You know, when you need a currency proxy, you know, as Viv mentioned, you know, if Turkey implodes, you know, the rand bombs out because we are the proxy for emerging markets. We're not that proxy anymore for equity markets anymore, because as I mentioned, we don't even carry a 4% weight anymore. That's my most worrying factor. I mean, we need to start seeing, you know, we need to start seeing the new Richemonts, the new Naspers, the new Anglo-Americans, Billitons, those type of companies that evolve out of South Africa. We're not going to do that, unfortunately, without power. I mean, I wanted to sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, ask Viv, you know, maybe we should, you know, relist Eskom as a tech company, and then they most probably start start looking at the workforce.
Yeah, it'll be the MySpace of energy companies, or the Pets.com of energy companies.
That's the solution.
Gentlemen, if Viv needs to get home to his family, his child has just started toddling, and that's a terrifying time. Good luck with that, Viv.
Sure.
Skalk, you've got to go to a 6 o'clock TV thing, but just give us the closing JSE indices, please, Skalk.
So the JSE today closed at 80,000. There we go. 80,509 points over the 80,000 levels, 0.98% in the green. Resources down today, 0.48%, while the industrials up close to 2%, 1.97% in the green, and the financials up 0.66%. Even the SA Property Index enjoyed the environment, 19 basis points in the green, while the top 40 closed at 74,480 points. That is up 1.04%. And when we look at the value trade in the market, not a bad day. I mean, we were beyond the 20 billion mark, 22.4 billion value traded on the market today. And just to quickly just finish up with the US markets, the S&P 500, 4,030 points, as you mentioned earlier, that's 40 basis points up. NASDAQ up 84 basis points. Wow. 11,408 points. And the Dow Jones is just struggling to stay positive. Currently 33,753 points. That is up 3 basis points.
It's a great day for stocks in the United States of America. Gentlemen, thanks so much. It was really good fun. And apart from being fun, I've learned a lot as well. Viv Govender is from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. And Skalk Lowe is from PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.